BT and Sal here, Sal is off. The next time that we're together entirely as a show will be next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow. I am obviously here tomorrow, and then I'm off the rest of the week, and then Sal is in tomorrow. Sal is in Wednesday, and then he is off the rest of this week, including tomorrow. So he's here one day. I'm here today and tomorrow. I think Moose is jumping in for a couple days, so you'll be in pretty good hands with Moose. That'll be fun. And then when Sal and I get back, it is Tuesday, and it is football go time. The sprint starts, Yankees, Mets, Jets, Giants, you know, Knicks and Rangers, training camp. Can't wait. And as you know, when we start football season, we play for something. Anybody can hand over, oh, I owe you $50, or I owe you $100. No, we play for embarrassment. So the first year, it was doink and it was gold dust level embarrassment. As Sal and I lost, Hoff was victorious. This year, Sal was victorious, and it was Brother Love, me, and Papa Shanko, Hoff. So there are big stakes again. Football Friday is going to be absolutely awesome. Can't wait. And hopefully from, you know, a non-betting or a non-entertainment perspective, hopefully they're just better. And I think that they're going to be much more competitive. You know, I've got win totals kicking around my head. I'll give them to you as we obviously get into that first or that final couple days before week one. Not yet. I'm in the neighborhood on both. I'll reveal them next week. But I just think it's going to feel different. And it's going to look a little different. All right, now, if I got to ask you something when you're done with the phones here. Let me set this back up. So I want to do it before we had Nick up, and thanks to Nick for hopping on. So, you know, most of the show's been about the Yankees and, like, how they've just really stripped the energy away from me. And they've just, you know, it's slowly leaving my body. Certainly the belief, that left a while ago. But, like, even, like, the willingness to put up my, you know, and fight, like, I'm not going to fight a fight that I don't think is winnable. And I don't think the Yankees will win the World Series. Now, that doesn't mean you just abandon your team because you don't think they're going to win the World Series. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm talking about is the constant pushback that some of you still muster up the energy to do, despite knowing that it's pretty much the same team and the same problems. Yeah, they catch the ball a little better. Yeah, the lineup is a little more, you know, whole or full, if you will. But we all know, or at least we should, that there's flaws that will prevent them from winning big again. And then when I throw the Mets in there, and I know the Mets, you know, yesterday was a very frustrating loss. I get it. But based on where they were, not too long ago, 7 straight losses, lose 2 out of 3 to the wretched Nats, you know, lose 2 out of 3 to the Braves at City before that. Like, the Met fan was in a bad spot as well. And I would think that this weekend would at least temporarily scrub away a lot of that negativity. Now, I think if you have your druthers, maybe you win Friday, you lose Saturday, you win Sunday, you end the weekend feeling good rather than blowing a lead and, you know, having a loss that's going to sting. But I think that the Mets right now, with McClain stepping up twice, going deep, obviously on Friday, going 7, Holmes going 7, which is a bit of a stunner, and maybe more specific, well, not more specific, because the McClain revolution, I mean, that's been huge. But between Vientos and Beatty, both whose numbers for a while now have been ticking up in the right spot, I thought Hoff would be, I'm not saying he's doing cartwheels, you know, because yesterday was a tough one, but you didn't really seem to have any enjoyment, Hoff, and I was surprised from this weekend.
Enjoyment from the fact that they should have swept the Braves. They're still in a, like, the playoff race is still too close with the Cincinnati Reds on their tails. They won again yesterday. They came back. They won like 7-1 versus the Diamondbacks. So that bothered me. Plus the fact that Pete Alonso played terrible this entire weekend. He went 2-for-15. He did hit a home run, but everything else he got under. He was in big spots. He got under everything. The ball was barely getting out of the infield. He's grounding out on first pitches that he swung at. He was awful. I still can't stand this bullpen. Like, it scares you. Dude, it was. You're right. Nolan McClain was amazing on Friday. Was amazing. 7 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, no walks.
Yeah.
7 straight. Excuse me, 7 strikeouts, and then you got Reed Garrett and Ryan Helsley come in. They give up 5 runs in 2 innings.
Helsley,
that's not good.
Has been as bad as you can be.
Yeah, That doesn't make me feel confident.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Nolan McClain, this is early on. Do we think this is going to be his production throughout the rest of the season? Not sure yet. You know, Clay Holmes was good. Okay, fine. But then you go back to the same thing with Peterson. Has a rough outing. Not a rough outing. Has a rough inning. And Carlos Mendoza is late to the party again. And there's too many times, BT, this season, whether it's Manaea, since he's been called back, Senga, now Peterson, where Mendoza allows the bases to get loaded, and he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have the feel. Is it time to pull the pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
This time he let, you know, Peterson go, and he gave up the two-run base
burned,
hit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, now normally he goes to the bullpen. But even in those situations, it's like, why are you letting the bases get loaded? It's a bad spot. You know that your pitchers don't go deep. Why are you trying to push them?
Well, sometimes you push them just to get a little length here. Number one, you believe in the guy. I don't know if you're letting somebody out there that you don't believe in, and he definitely believes, and he should. I'm not saying he made the right move. I say he didn't. But the conviction and the faith in Peterson is justified. That's number one. Number two, like forget about Peterson in general. The reason why you do that is because you're trying to help regenerate this bullpen, which has been just exhausted for months off.
Dude, and months. And BT, you nailed it right there. I'm going to kill David Stearns right here for a bit, and he's going to catch a ton of fire. If this Mets team doesn't make the playoffs, David Stearns is going to be under so much heat this entire offseason. A hot stove, he's going to be the heat. He's going to be the stove, bro.
So he's going to provide the warmth.
Well, I don't know what he's going to get, but I'm going to get a lot of hate towards him because here's the deal. He's trying to be too smart. This entire season, we all knew the pitching staff was not as good as we thought they were going to be. They couldn't go deep into games.
Yep.
This bullpen was going to get worn out. And rather than making a trade for a guy like, hey, Shane Bieber just came back the other day, pitched six innings, gave up one run. I think he gave up two hits, struck out nine in six innings. One run. His whip for the game in six innings was .33. So he came back on fire. Former Cy Young, got traded from the Guardians. Guess what? They traded a draft pick. He was like, now he's in the Guardians farm system. It's a seventh. He's now like the seventh prospect. I would have given, they traded 12 picks. 12 picks, or 12 prospects, excuse me, for four guys that none of them are good. I would have traded 12 guys.
Soto's been okay before. Like, he's had one or two months.
He's been
Soto's
okay.
Been pretty good.
But he blew the game on Sunday. But still, even
Mullins
that.
Hasn't given you much.
No, give us zero.
He really hasn't.
Helsley, Rogers. Rogers got these rubber arms so he can go every game.
He's fine.
I would have traded 12 players for Shane Bieber, someone that can give you actual innings and help you save the bullpen.
Well, listen, again, I appreciate the concerns because I do think that there's still concerns with the Mets, but I would say this. You know, think about how the Met fan felt about 2 weeks ago and really going back as recently as 2 weeks ago and extending over the course of 2 months or so versus now. Think about what's changed here, and I'm going to give you three things that changed. Number one, McClain has changed at least the perception and the energy around the Mets, number one. Number two, Theantos is hitting. And number three, so is Beatty. I was giving these numbers. I know you were on the phone before, but early in the show. The last 30 days, Theantos has six homers, 18 ribbies, and his OPS is over 900. That's the last 30 days. Not last 3 days, not last five. That's a month. And it's not like it's a month where it's like, well, he did nothing last year. That at least is a possible foreshadow that Theantos is ready to join the party, number one. Number two, Beatty's last 50 at-bats. All right, 50 at-bats. He's hitting .333, and he's got an OPS over 1,000. And I think more importantly, Beatty, unlike Vientos defensively, Beatty has shown that he can pick it at third base, and he can play second, too. Like, the thing with Beatty's a guy, and I'm not saying that he's going to be a 7 or a 10 or a 12, 15-year Met. I'm not saying that. But Brett Beatty and I'm going to stick with Beatty. Brett Beatty has quelled the concerns that he can at least play slightly above average defense. He has done that. If you Met fans don't feel that, I'm not sure what to tell you, but he has. And he's done it at more than one place. He's done it second, and he's also obviously done it third. Now that his stick is along for the ride, and he's starting to show some pop, he's going to finish up with 20-something home runs. So, again, this is not the Yankees are doomed and the Mets are perfect. Neither team is perfect, and neither team's winning the World Series. But right now, if you said, even though the NL is better than the American League, I just feel like there's less wrong with the Mets. I honestly do than with the Yankees. I do.
With the Beatty stuff, they're too hot and cold. Same with Vientos. I'm happy he's starting to hit hit the ball and hit home runs.
It's about time.
It's very, very important that he's doing that. But Beatty's been hot and cold all season long, and he's been hot lately, sure. But then if you take away the one game where he had basically four singles on Friday night, he went 4-for-6.
Yeah.
His last five games, he's basically take those four hits away, which you don't. But he's got six hits in the past five games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he went 4-for-6 with four singles. Yeah,
I know.
I'm not impressed by him, and he gets too cold too quick. And that's been the MO for this whole Met team. Same thing with the Yankees.
But you got to want him more than Mauricio out there.
Well, it's weird. Like, Mauricio, I still think is going to be the better hitter.
I think I might agree with you down there. Maybe. I don't know. Because even yesterday, it was yesterday. It's like slider at the ankle, strike one, strike. He looks lost now.
But here's the thing, BT. He played, this is his first game in eight days.
No, like, I know, but even when he came up, the knock on him is the inability to hit the soft stuff. And, like, to me, now, I'm not saying he's got to figure it out in a month. I want to be fair with
the kid. No, of course.
Ripped up his knee, missed a whole year. I think he's definitely got more tools than Brett Beatty, no question, and more tools than Vientos. But, I mean, if you can't hit a slider or a curve and he misses them by a mile, I know he's going to tighten it up a little bit, but it doesn't mean it's going to ever be a strike.
His sample size is so small right now, which is why a lot of people are sitting there going, oh, Brett Beatty, look, he can play. Yes, he's had more than 3 years of experience in the majors. He better figure it out. He better be hitting 15 home runs in a league where everybody hits home runs. Like, dude, we're sitting here I'm not praising Brett Beatty. He's got 15 home runs. Go up, look him up and down the league. There's 200 plus people that have 15 or 10 plus home runs. It's not impressive to me anymore. We can all you're a baseball player. That's what you could do. Get on base consistently. Hit the ball for a better batting average.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop with these cold streaks.
Yeah.
Defense is definitely improved. That's for sure. Dirt base definitely improved with Brett Beatty. But second base is a little weak. I'm not gonna sit there and he is soft when it comes down to him and Lindor. They are not on the same page.
Well, I mean, listen, the home run barrage in baseball, you've got to temper the enthusiasm. You look around, I mean, everybody's got some home runs. The Yankees have five guys with over 20, and here I am rambling for 3 hours that the Yankees have no shot, which we all know is true. Yankees have no shot to win the championship this year. So I am no longer moved by home runs. I understand what you're saying there. I'm just saying that I look at there's growth with Beatty, which I do appreciate. Like, you know, I gave you a 50 at bat sample. Okay, it's not exactly big, but you mix that with Vientos. And even if only one of those guys remains hot the rest of the way, which is probably what's going to happen, and, you know, McClain, like, I just think there's more recent evidence from a Met perspective than a Yankee. But really, the Met season, in a lot of ways, guys, in terms of how you're really, truly going to feel, it starts tonight and starts tomorrow. Like, if you don't get Senga and Manaea going, it doesn't matter how much we talk about Beatty or Vientos or McClain or Holmes going seven or, you know, this guy coming out of the pen. It does not matter. They must join the party. And you don't even need both to be great. But one of those guys has to start doing his job. And I think it's got to be Manaea more than Senga. Like, I trust him a little bit more. He seems to be more, I want to say mentally tough. That's not fair. But Senga just, I don't know, I can't really get around. And I've liked Senga. You know, I liked him more than Sal. You know that. You've heard me say that. But he's just all over the map. Like, he just nibbles. And you look up and he nibble. No, you can't nibble like that. I think Manaea's got a little more of a chance to get back to what he was a year ago. Now, before we get a quick break, come back, get the calls. I need to at least check on, I mentioned this earlier, I need to check on the emotional condition of one soon-to-be 9-year-old Anthony Hoffman. Who, unfortunately for soon-to-be 9-year-old Anthony Hoffman, he did serve up a cookie to Uncle BT, who was able to deposit this in Uncle Sal's pool on Saturday. And because I've seen this with my own son, and I actually don't mind this, little Anthony took the 3-run home run by Uncle BT very, very hard. So, was he recovered in the car ride home? Was he? Did he stabilize during the evening?
I can't believe you're bringing this on air that you a 52-year-old man crushed a bomb off of a 7-year-old.
No, he's 8. I thought he was 8.
He's not 8 yet.
Oh, so I
he's gonna be. He's gonna
so
be
I
8.
Said soon to be 9. He's soon to be 8. Even better. He's got game.
I get it.
I'm not putting this on Anthony. I'm just making sure he's okay.
You just went on air saying that you crushed a bomb off of a 7-year-old.
He left a little cutter that didn't move. I mean, what am I supposed to do with it? Pop it up just to make him feel good?
He's 7. First of all, by the way,
yes.
The stickler that Anthony is, the previous play where you quote unquote fouled the ball.
It was foul.
Of course, it was foul.
Close, but it was foul.
That's what pissed him off.
I know.
He's like, that was fair. He should have been out. Plus, I got Colt out at second base prior, but you guys said no. Colt's got to be at second base because again.
He threw the ball at him, which I love. If that's the rule, he knew what to do.
Yeah, but he got Kinsley out of third base too. The same thing.
That's, what do you say? My family cheats? I mean, that's kind of what I'm hearing.
Hold on. I'm saying, look, dude, we're sitting here talking about you smashing a home run off of him. He didn't even care if he gave the home run. Yeah. By the way, you legitimately went O'Doyle style off of him from Happy Gilmore. 100%.
Was it O'Doyle or O'Doyle?
O'Doyle.
You're right. O'Doyle rules.
BT is straight up O'Doyle rules. Off of a 7-year-old.
With
an illegal at bat, by the way.
Nah, that's just a good wiffle ball bat that we came with.
You guys came in, but hey, by the way, look at this thing. We got it all juiced up.
I know. We had a little tape on that. Here's the thing. The yellow wiffle ball bats are too small.
They're too short.
So you almost have to keep, if you're an adult, if you're a kid, they're good. You almost have to have your hand below the knob. You can't hit
there
like that.
There are bats that they sell that are like the blacker or thicker ones.
I've seen those.
The blue ones that are thicker. So like, those are the better ones.
That's what we brought.
Those are real deals.
Now, here's the thing. So you say I went old Doyle. But what is better? And I would want you to do the same thing to my kids. What is better? Because he's got a little game and he's competitive. I think Little Land has a chance to be good. Your son. What is better for his development? To, you know, have somebody smash one in the pool and understand
I don't think he cared. He didn't care about the home run. Hmm. That's the thing.
Still, the rules.
It's the rules that he's stickler on. Dude, I swear.
Yeah, you told me that.
So we have 8U. He played a 9U game when we were 8U, and the rules were a little different. And he got thrown out at second base, and he got pissed. He goes, that's not fair. He blocked the plate.
I go, dude,
it's different rules. And we got the rules for the 9U, and it specifically says, I'm like, dude, remember when you told me that wasn't a rule?
Uh-huh.
Here is the rule that says, as long as they have the ball, they can block the plate. And he's like, all right, fine. Like, finally admitted to the fact that he was wrong. But he is a stickler for rules. So if he thinks in wiffle ball, you're allowed to peg somebody with the ball to get somebody out?
No.
That's how they play?
And by the way, you don't think I've seen that my son's whole life? You think I identify that?
I'm talking to you. That's right.
I mean, I get it. So, you know, as a soon-to-be 8-year-old, I get it. I respect it. Kid's got his grind on. Good for him.
No, he understands he's going to give up home runs, especially to a 52-year-old man.
Oh, you got to keep slipping that in.
Dude, you sent it to the moon.
Yeah,
I walked it off.
I did barrel one up. It felt pretty good.
I think he did a bat flip.
I don't think I bat flipped.
Oh, you definitely bat flipped.
No, because my wife wouldn't run. I'm like, can you at least run so I can enjoy my job around the bases?
I wish we had that on video.
I don't know if it's fair. Yeah, it's fair. Keep it moving. I want to jog. That was funny. All right, 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan. Back to these calls. Yanks, you know where I stand on that. Mets, you heard what Hoff and I were talking about that. Where are you from a Mets perspective? Going into the big Philly series. To the baseball calls here, 888-808-1019. Before I do that, though, very quickly, so Volpe, as you know, obviously, by now, will not play today, and he's not in the starting lineup. He was told after the game last night, which I think is the right move. I would have done it a lot sooner. I would never have sent him down. I always resisted that with great force. Maybe that would have been the thing, but I just didn't really see how that was going to benefit him necessarily, and they also didn't have an option. Well, they do now. Whether it's Caballero, whether it's Rosario. But here's what I don't understand. This I just fundamentally disagree with. And, you know, if we had Aaron Boone on today, I would ask him this. So Anthony Volpe said that he's going to sit, meaning today. This was from last night. But he'll return on Tuesday. Well, I wouldn't make any assurances that he's returning anytime soon. I mean, what if Caballero goes out and has two hits and steals two bags? You don't just wedge somebody back in. What you do is you let it play out. And being married to reinserting him, not knowing what's going to happen tonight, to me is completely unnecessary and really unjustified at this point. So I don't get that. I would not do that from a Yankee perspective. We'll see. You know, if your sub plays well, then you might sit again on Tuesday. And then if he plays well on Tuesday, you might not play on Wednesday. We'll let you know. Stay ready. We know you are. Listen, we know you're a hard worker. We know you're locked in, well-intentioned, and disciplined. So there's nobody that has to worry about Anthony DeVolpe not doing whatever it takes to fight out of this. Now, we'll find out if he's good enough to eventually do it to become the player that we need him to be and they need him to be. But he has not earned, Anthony Volpe has not earned the right to be told. Anthony Volpe has not earned the right to be told that he's playing tomorrow no matter what. I don't count. Just not telling him that. Yo, TBD, you know, TBD, Volpe, we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, let's get back to the phones here. How about Anthony in Brooklyn, BT and Sal on the Fan? What's up, Ant?
Hey, Sal, what's going on? How you doing?
Good, it's BT, but Sal's good as well. What's up, Ant?
I'm doing all right. Like you just mentioned, I thought the Yankees should have benched Anthony Volpe a little earlier because he's been struggling so much, not only offensively but defensively, but I wonder how long this is going to last. What do you think?
Well, apparently it's over after tonight. He's playing tomorrow. So that's the answer, which I don't really agree with here. I don't know. You know, we're obviously past, you're not going to send him down now. I mean, first, there's not a lot of minor league season left, and it just doesn't make any sense to do it. And they're not going to do it. And again, I've always really strongly resisted that. But I was saying as far back as 5 weeks ago, give him a breather. Let him sit. It's okay. You know, this now the options weren't there, so I get that to an extent. But you did have Peraza still at that point. So even if it just meant less of an upgrade offensively at shortstop, at least in theory, but more about giving Volpe a chance to mentally reset, to me, that was the move right there, more so than just running him out there, hoping it was going to change. Rob's in New Canaan. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, BT, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing today?
Good. I got to tell you, bud, the smile on my face when you were talking about your grandfather and Old Spice aftershave, I got to tell you, it is a I'm an Italian-American. It was so true. It rings true to this day when I put it on. But I just loved it. I want to thank you. You made my day.
Yeah, I'm not alone, man. With that white T-shirt and the gold cross and the hair slicked back and shaving every morning and the gravy going on at 7 o'clock on a Sunday. I can still smell it.
But BT, the difference is I did grow up in Darien, so there was no white T-shirts and no gold necklaces, but everything else rang true.
I got it. Understood. Yep. And he used to keep his razor blade in a little Old Spice cup, too.
Had to.
He did.
Hey, listen, just real quickly, you know, in March, I couldn't wait to throw down my credit card, as I do every year, and buy the app so I can watch my Yankees play.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, I'm sitting around, and I'm watching some compelling Mets game. I'm watching a little Indy car. I'm getting ready for the FedEx Championship in golf. And I'm thinking about, I just juxtaposed how I felt in March about watching the Yankees and then paying for them for the rest of the season to watch them. And I went online. I canceled my subscription to the Gotham. I cannot support mediocrity, and that's what the Yanks are. It's a flawed product, unfortunately. And I didn't even feel bad doing it financially or emotionally.
Yeah. And again, I don't really wade into that, Rob. Thanks for the call. Like, I'm never gonna be. I remember years ago when I was at a different station. There was like this undercurrent, and they eventually did it. I don't know how successful it was or how well attended it was, but there was like a group of Knicks fans who were trying to get me to join in a protest and go outside the garden. I'm like, that's not what I'm doing. I mean, I'll rant and rave and call it how it is on the radio with Isaiah Thomas at that point and James Dolan and Eddie Curry and Jerome James, but I'm not jumping into that. Like, I am never going to be the guy that's going to tell you, don't go, don't spend your money, don't get the app. You do what you got to do. You know what you can afford and you know your level of tolerance, but I also know this. So, like, yesterday, what did I watch yesterday? I watched Tommy Fleetwood win for the first time on American soil, which was great. You know, I'm not going to get into it now because it's not a lot of time, and I don't know how many people really care. But, you know, less about the $10 million in the FedEx Championship. But Tommy Fleetwood has been a hell of a player for a long time. To see him close that out, I enjoyed that. So, I watched the end of the FedEx there. So I watched some of that. I watched, you know, I've been all over the Little League World Series. Taipei beat Nevada. I watched that. I watched the Mets and the Braves. Honestly, the thing that I enjoyed watching the least was the Yankees and the Red Sox. It was fourth. I mean, maybe ahead of the Mets, you know, because the Yankees at least hit some home, and they won. But, like, compared to, and, you know, Taipei smoked American team, unfortunately, but I mean, you're throwing 82 miles an hour from 46 feet. And I don't know who the hell's hitting that. It's 106 miles an hour converted. If it was like a 60-mile mound, 60-foot mound in terms of reaction time, nobody was hitting that kid. And the way they catch the ball, whatever. So the better team won, or at least the better pitcher won. But just to see those young men compete and the energy and the family, I love it. You know, I love the Little League World Series. And again, big shout out to the kids up in Connecticut, Fairfield. Loved watching their run. And they did get a little bit hosed. I mean, it's double elimination the way this thing starts out. Then it becomes modified winner's bracket. So, you know, you can, and they're going to have to change this. And not just because a team near us got screwed a little bit, but everybody else had two chances to lose. I mean, Fairfield beat Nevada. And then Nevada, you know, beat Fairfield once. And I don't think it was equitable. Either way, it was a lot of good stuff to watch yesterday. And even though the Yankees hit home runs and they won and they avert the sweep, did you really enjoy it? I mean, I didn't. I'm not going to lie to you.
Call of the day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Stanford on The Fan, BT and Sal.
Hi. Hey. Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much.
Hello, Carolyn. Yeah, how you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Good.
You know, I follow the Yankees really closely, and I go to a few games. And mm-hmm. one of the games I went to, I saw one of the players standing in the dugout, and I was like, who is that? And it just hit me that this team, it's like a pickup team. They do so many wholesale changes every time at the trade deadline.
Yep.
That they have a heart for themselves. They don't have a heart for the team. You know, they are invested in getting their stats up, but they don't seem to be invested in having chemistry. They don't have a DNA for New York or the Yankees because they've never really been with the Yankees. So it's just, it's a job to them. You don't really see the passion because they're just looking for the next job, the next place that they're going to go.
And there was more, too. And she nailed a lot right there. I was really interested. That was early in the show. It was a good call. BT and Sal here. It's 146. Got Evan and Tiki coming up next here. 888-808-1019 is the number. I want to get this in. I think you guys will enjoy this before I get back to the calls. It's about the Jackson Dart. NFL Talk on the Fan brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all year long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So I think, let's face it, if you encompass every storyline with the Jets and the Giants both being on the table, I think it's fairly easy to recognize what the biggest question of the year going in is in New York football. And that's, when do we see Jackson Dart? Like, when do we really see him? And there's going to be a lot of conversations about this. Some think he should start week one, which I think is nuts, which he's not. I looked at the schedule, and I just came up with this. And, all right, so he's not going to play week one. Not going to play week two in Dallas. You're not going to throw him out there on a Sunday night against Kansas City, or at least I wouldn't. And by the way, I think Russ will do okay. So I think Russ will be fine early. I don't think he's going to be so poor where we're looking, you know, right away. We got to get Dart in there. I don't think you throw him in there against a Harbaugh defense, which is going to be very good. L.A. Chargers, that's late September. Then you're in New Orleans. All right, maybe. Like, if Russ is awful, then maybe that's the spot. But then you have Thursday night against Philly. Then you're in Denver. Then you're in Philly on a short week. Like, there's just really no soft landing spots. And even Sunday, November 2nd, which is week 9, that's against San Francisco. And that's at home. You know, they're coming across the country, whatever, but they're a pretty good team. I think when I look at this, probably, it all depends on Wilson, sure. But I think the first really, truly logical spot for Dart will be week 10, Sunday, November 9th at Chicago. I think. Like, that's the one that tends to jump out. Then after that, you're back home against the Packers. It's not a short week. There's nothing wacky there. No prime time. You know, you want to tell me, and by the way, I don't even know if it's going to be that early. I mean, he might not play until after the bye, which is week 14 in early-ish December. I don't know. I'm saying, though, the one spot that makes a little bit of sense to me now could be that Chicago week 10. You want to tell me week 13 at New England, but that's a Monday night game. Vrabel's a good defensive guy. Do you want to mess around with that? Probably not. I don't know. that's my first look at that. So there you go, a little football something with Dart. Let me get back to you guys here. Let me get Tom in Brooklyn. Tom, BT and Sal, how you doing today?
Yeah, how you doing? Listen, before I give you my Steinbrenner take, you know, you and Hoff have almost the exact same sounding voice on the radio. It's weird. I don't know if
I don't think so.
I don't hear that at all, dude.
I don't think so. I think maybe Sal and I sound a little bit alike, as we, but it's me and Hoff, no.
Yeah, my voice is so much sexier.
Yeah. Well, you got to have something.
Maybe you don't hear it as we hear it on the radio. Anyway, do you think anything's going to be done with the Yankees for a change while Steinbrenner is still the owner? I don't think so, but I was wondering your take on it.
Yeah, I do. I think if the Yankees miss the playoffs this year, which I don't think they will, but if they, I think they'll make it as a wild card. If they were to get bounced like immediately, I think there's changes. Yeah, I think Hal's got a limit. I mean, what do we? I mean, can't be stupid about this here. I mean, nobody has a job for life. So if they don't make the playoffs, then I think that there's probably wholesale changes, meaning Cashman moves on to an advisory role, whatever. You know, obviously Aaron Boone would be out at that point. If the Yankees make the wild card and lose in round one, I can see them, or him, probably keeping Cashman, which I wouldn't agree with, and then maybe doing a new manager. But listen, I think whenever the change comes, you know, we've had some conversations with people off the record, off the air. You know, like Jeter would be interested in this job. He would be interested in Cashman's job. And Posada would be interested in managing. And we know they're boys. So I don't know where that goes, when it goes, if it goes. But you'd have to acknowledge that, you know, any quick ouster, you'd have to anticipate massive change. You have to. And this is crazy how, think about, even though it's really not that different from what some of us thought going into the year, right now, the Yankees are projected to win 88.7 games. The Mets are projected to win 85.7. So I thought the Mets would be slightly higher. I thought the Yankees over-under at 90.5 was, really wasn't touching that. I went under. But I wasn't feeling great about the division. You guys know that. But we are 30-ish games to go for both of these teams. One's projected to win mid-80s. The other high 80s. One team, the Yankees, has an 8.5 percentage chance to win the division. The Mets have less than 6% chance based on everything that they calculate. This model that I use, less than 6% chance to win the division. And the Mets, by the way, now the Yankees postseason just making it, it's well over 95%. But the Mets is in the low 70s. I got news for everybody here. The Yankees or the Mets, neither one of those teams gets an ounce of credit for merely making the playoffs. Not from this show. Not from this guy. Like, that's got to be the bare bones barometer. Like, you drop 340 like the Mets, you drop whatever it is, 290. Now the Yankees have eaten some money with DJ. They picked up some money with McMahon. So, like, where their money is now, they ate money with Stroman, where it is now versus where it was, it's gone a little bit higher. So they're even closer. They're over three now. When you have a payroll over $300 million, you think we're getting on the air in New York City and throwing a party with all these additional wild card spots for the Yanks and the Mets to merely make the playoffs? There's no way that that's going to happen. And there's no way anybody should feel that way, honestly. Now, but Rob is feeling positive in Sayreville. Rob, speed teen Sal, what's up, dude?
I wouldn't say fully positive, but okay. So I'll give you a little background. But so I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I'm also a teacher and a high school baseball coach.
Nice.
And naturally, when I see a problem that's mind-boggling, like what the Yankees are right now, I think to myself and I try to rationalize it. So I'm trying to, like, I can't imagine a world where you and Yankee fans are smarter than the people that they have working in the front office.
Why not? I'm gonna ask, I don't know. That. Why not?
I'm trying to think, like, this is a billion-dollar organization.
Fantastic.
How stupid could they be?
Well, I'm not saying, Rob, hold on. I'm not saying that they're stupid. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But, like, I know that this is going to sound, I just know how it's going to sound, but I don't care. I know more baseball than some people in the Yankees front office. I can promise you that. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to speak for anybody else. I'm speaking for me. Me? Yes, I have great confidence saying that. I do.
I want to get to my point. So nowadays, after every at-bat, you see the guys go into the dugout.
Yep.
They check out their iPads. Yeah. They're working through things like pitch sequencing. Yeah, pitch sequencing, hot spots, yeah. All this data that they're looking at.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
like trying to play three. It's like 3D chess they're trying to play.
Spin rate. Yeah.
And so what I'm wondering, and this is, again, it's me trying to rationalize.
I got you.
Could it be possible that the so-called genius analytics guys,
the nerds,
like, yeah. maybe even like relating it to football, mm-hmm. right? Like they're holding their cards for the postseason, where they get there and they change their approach.
Rob, you're overthinking it, Rob. No, I have to end because the show's basically no. Because if that was the case, well, then why haven't the Yankees had more success? And I appreciate the out of box thinking. I really mean that. Sincerely, you're an educator. You've got a fertile mind. I appreciate a different way to approach a problem. I do. That's admirable. But, and I know you're not saying that they're doing that. You're just throwing out there as a possibility. But if that were true, then why wouldn't that apply to previous seasons? Like, we've been having this conversation about the New York Yankees over and over and over and over and over.